Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
Alrighty, hi everybody, how you doing? I'm Effie. It's lovely to have you all here this morning. So we have now reached chapter 5 in the Gospel of Luke. As a church, from now until summer, we'll be going through the book of Luke with a few extras, including Easter, on the way. But like I said, we're on chapter 5. So if you'd like to get that up on your Bibles, on your phone versions of the Bible, however you feel to read the Bible, get that up and we'll read through verses 1 to 11 together. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got in one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, for now you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So we pick up the story with Jesus being overwhelmed by a crowd he's about to teach. And to solve this problem, he decides to get in a boat owned by a guy called Simon, who later down the line we come to know as Peter. This isn't the first time that Jesus and Simon have interacted. In the chapter before, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law from a high fever. So they already have some type of relationship, and Simon would probably respect Jesus and acknowledge that there's something special about him. In verses 4 and 5, when Jesus asks them to take the boat out further and drop their nets, Simon's like, "We've worked all night fishing, but if you say it, we'll do it." I always interpreted this as Simon getting a little bit sassy with Jesus. Like, "Oh yeah, this carpenter telling us seasoned fishermen how to fish. Let's see how this goes down." But as I was reading around it and seeing other interpretations, it seems more like Jesus is saying thank you to Simon. I always read it as Jesus flexing a little bit, showing the authority and power he had, not just over people, but over nature. You know, causing actual fish to jump into the nets. But I kind of love it more being about Jesus wanting to bless Simon, giving him a gift for allowing him to use his boat to teach people. And in true Jesus fashion, the gift is 10 times more than what was given to him in the first place. And I think another point I always missed is that Jesus isn't physically showing them how to do it or telling them to do it in a different way. He just tells them to do it, do what they have been doing again. The major difference from the times before is that he's with them. Jesus is out finding his disciples, but the point of his action here isn't a ploy to entice people in with incentive bonuses. He's just demonstrating kindness and honoring the trust someone else has put in him. Simon could have easily said no. He'd been working all night, they'd been tired, they've already been disturbed by having to put the boat out in the first place. I don't think anybody would have faulted him if he refused, but he didn't. The more I think about it, the more I realize why Jesus chose Simon to be one of his disciples. There were a couple of options that Simon had in that moment. He could have said no, come up with some valid excuse, or he could have just said yes without hesitation and done it anyway. But what he did here, I think, holds a bit more power. He was aware of the situation that he was in and how it could have amounted to absolutely nothing, and on a regular day, it probably would have. But instead, he acknowledged the situation that he was in, but still decided to trust Jesus anyway. Because personally, I think that there's a big difference between just saying yes to something without thinking and doing it for the sake of it, and evaluating the situation and still saying yes. I think there's more power in saying, to me, this is impossible, but with God, it's possible. So coming back to the idea that Jesus is blessing Simon for his help with the boat and the crowd. In an ideal world, when you work under someone or you're learning from someone, you don't want that person to be fake nice to you just so that they can lure you in. But instead, you want to be drawn to that person because they're a good person. I know it seems like a really basic way of describing Jesus, like, oh, he's such a nice man, so kind, when I'm literally speaking about the Son of God who heals the sick and commands the elements and later on, spoiler alert, dies and is resurrected. But we've seen so many powerful authority figures in history turn out to be horrible, mean, twisted people. The fact that Jesus was nice is just as important as how powerful he was, because that fosters a pretty good working environment. Now looking at verses 6 to 8, when the net had been drawn and the catch was so large that both the boat they were in and the one they had called over were sinking, Simon was overwhelmed, understandably. He's just witnessed something miraculous. With the time of day and the amount of people that were around and the noise, there should have been no fish. Instead, there were too many. With this miracle and seeing Jesus heal his mother-in-law, Simon would have felt a sense of unworthiness. He was being faced with his own mortal shortcomings in comparison to the supernatural nature of Jesus. He was probably dealing with a lot of emotions at the time. But Jesus is super chill in this situation and tells him to not be afraid and that he will fish for people. In other translations, they use the word catch. And the Greek word that's used for catch is zogron, which means to catch alive. This isn't just any old role. This is a life-giving vocation for Simon and the others. Jesus took on the disciples, taught them, nurtured them, and helped mold them to be able to share the good news of God with those around them, with the intention of them being able to tell about the good news and disciple more people to be able to share the good news of God. And down the line, some 2,000 years later, here we are, still teaching and being taught about the good news of Jesus. So I've been mentioning the term disciples to describe Simon and those who decide to follow Jesus. And it might be a word that you don't really know or don't really know the meaning of. So I guess another way to look at it would be to switch it to apprentice. The Oxford Dictionary definition of an apprentice is a person who is learning a trade from a skilled employer, having agreed to work for a fixed term at a low wage. And I think this definition fits better, specifically for this encounter Jesus has with Simon and the others. The way Jesus has phrased it makes it feel more practical. It's almost as if he's adapting the trade. And it was for a fixed time, whether the disciples knew it or not. That was always part of Jesus' plan. But just what were the disciples entering into? What did this apprenticeship look like? Well, in the coming weeks, we'll hear more about what life with Jesus was like. But for right now, let's focus on what it would look like for us in today's world. Being an apprentice of Jesus doesn't mean that you have to work for the church. For some people, like Gareth or Matthew, yeah, that's it for them. But I'm not saying you have to quit your job and join the priesthood, unless that's what God's calling you into, and in which case, Godspeed, my friend. But for the rest of us, we're still invited to be part of the apprenticeship. And there are three things that we can do to get the full experience. And those are spending time with him, learning from him, and doing what he does. But what does this actually look like? Unlike the disciples, at the time, Jesus isn't physically here with us. So what can we do to have a similar experience with God? Well, one, spending time with God. That could look like praying, taking time out of your day to intentionally sit and chat with God, or listening to worship music, or fasting. Gareth has mentioned over the last few weeks that him and a few other people are doing an extended fast. If that's something that you'd like to challenge yourself with, have a chat with Gareth. And if you can't do the extended fast, I'm sure he'd be up for chatting through a different way that you could fast instead. Number two of the three aspects of the apprenticeship is learning from him. That looks like reading and studying the Bible and really engaging, not just reading for reading's sake. And if that doesn't do it for you, or if you find it hard to engage with God in that way, there's a whole community of people around you who can help you. Listen to talks or have discussions with your connect groups. I'm not saying that I have anything megally profound to say, but we're all people of varying knowledges of God and can help so much with each other. Please collect your children. Thank you. I'm going to carry on now. When I remember where I was. Where was I? Thank you so much, crowd participation. But yeah, there is so much you can learn from other people. And the third aspect of the apprenticeship, doing what he does, going out and telling people about the good news of God. Again, I'm going to repeat, you don't have to drop everything and move halfway across the world, unless that is what God is saying you should do. There are tons of people around you who still don't know the good news of God. They could be your work colleagues, course mates, neighbors. You might be sat here right now thinking, that girl's talking about me, and if that's you, hey, how you doing? If you want to know a bit more about who this guy Jesus is, why don't you try Alpha? Alpha is a series of videos that unpack a bit about who Jesus was and is, and allows room for you to ask any and every question, with the intention of you maybe not getting a direct answer, but instead opening the floor up for discussion and hopefully you coming out with your own conclusions on things. So as we continue on this journey as people who are fishing for people, this life-giving vocation, there might be areas in which you feel you're lacking. I know that's true for me, but don't worry, because there's still time for you to learn and improve your skills. And you know, practice makes perfect. So why don't you challenge yourself this week to really push into one of the aspects of the apprenticeship and see what impact God can have on your life or on someone else's life through you. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you call us to be fisher of people with you, Lord. We thank you that you guide us through it all. And I thank you that we don't have to do it by ourselves. And I pray that we can step into this apprenticeship with boldness and with the spirit of you over us, Lord. And we pray that in the times when things get hard and we feel like we might be failing, that we remember that, you did it first, Lord, that you called people first, and we just have to reflect your goodness to be able to do it well. Lord, we remember that it's not in our own strength, but it's through you. We praise your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.